Are you tired of the non-stop hustle and grind? Welcome to Life in Business, the podcast for business owners who want success without sacrificing life. I'm Libby Langley, your host, award-winning, no BS, straight-talking business coach, Amazon best-selling author, and the queen of easy business. Join me to learn simple and practical strategies for growing your business, your profits, and your confidence, and for having fun too. Here's this week's episode. Hello, welcome along to Life in Business with me, your host, Libby Langley. Big question for you today. What makes a brilliant business owner? Owning a business does not a brilliant business owner make, right? And I've done a previous episode about whether you're a practitioner or a business owner, and I honestly can't remember what title it was called, but if you scroll back through previous episodes of this podcast, you'll be able to listen to that. And there is a difference, right? There is a big difference between owning a business and being a brilliant business owner. And the same absolutely goes for if you buy a franchise, because I know I do quite a lot of work with franchisors and franchisees. So there are franchise owners, hello, who listen to this podcast, which it's lovely to have you here. So the same goes for that. So if you buy a franchise, you've bought a business model, a can of business in a box, right? You've bought a system, you've bought some processes, you've bought some branding. However, and one thing you probably already realized is that buying a franchise does not immediately make you a brilliant business owner. Why should it? Totally different skill set, right? Something absolutely different from what you've been doing before. So there's no blame, there's no shame with any of this. We all started with absolutely no knowledge whatsoever of how to run businesses. Everybody does, okay? I mean, you can do prep for it, like I'd done an MBA, and which involved lots of finance exams, which, I mean, I loved because I love the finances, so I don't know why I'm pulling a face there. But the, so I knew about profit and loss, I knew about those kinds of things. So that gave me a bit of a head start on perhaps some other people. And I'd worked with businesses for a long time. So I had lots of friends who were business owners. I'd done lots of business networking. So a lot of the kind of terminology was not new to me. And I, you know, qualified in teaching social media and lots of stuff that all gave me a bit of a head start. However, I was not a brilliant business owner from day one. I was good at talking to people. I was good at connecting with people. I was good at asking for the sale, really, right? I think I was better at that in the early days than I am now, which is a weird thing that maybe I need to speak to my coach about. But I think that was probably true. And perhaps some of that comes with the enthusiasm of first starting a business. So anyway, I mean, I digress. However, you know, you don't start a business on day one and become brilliant on day two. It doesn't happen. It happens over time. And certainly now I'm into year 13 of my business. I would say I'm a pretty damn good business owner. It's difficult to call oneself brilliant. However, you know, I'm good. I'm good, which is why I can help other people. And there's lots of things that, I guess there's kind of like some key factors that you need to be a brilliant business owner. And these are things, some you will have from day one, but won't be necessarily what shaped in the right direction, if that means, you know, channeled in the right direction. But you'll certainly have them. And others, you kind of got to learn, yeah? And the ones that you've got to learn are things like understanding the finances and understanding the numbers. So, so important to know that, to know the difference between profit and turnover. And again, I've done previous podcast episodes on this. So if you're already thinking, I don't know what she's talking about, or I'm not really sure, then go back and listen to some previous episodes. And if you can't find it, just send me a message on Instagram or LinkedIn and I'll find it for you and send it to you. Because I'm not very good at remembering what previous podcast episodes are called. And I sometimes don't know that I'm going to refer to them. So I don't have the list kind of in front of me. So yeah, which is all fine. You know, we're all friends here, so that's all okay. But so the difference between profit and turnover, how much money your business actually makes. And I did a podcast episode about that really recently. So just scroll back through the recent ones and you'll get some answers there. And like money leaks, you know, where the money's going in your business, why there's not the same amount of money in your bank account as you kind of like feel there should be. So where's it going? Understanding all this stuff. I mean, I would say this is probably one of the most important factors of being a brilliant business owner. I think it's underrated by people, and it's not the thing that's shouted about the kind of the most. It's like, you know, you're 10K months and making loads of money. And it's like, yeah, but let's get the foundations of the business right first, and then we can look to build on those. But just doing sales, 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 what makes you a salesperson? Which, yes, is part of being a business owner for sure, but it's got to be more strategic than that, right? It's got to be more thought through and more calculated as to how much money you're making and why you're making the money, right? So that's one of the really important factors, is understanding your numbers will make the difference between you being a practitioner or a franchise owner and being a brilliant business owner. And I want you to be a brilliant business owner. That's really, really important to me that happens, which is why I am here with you today. Now, that's a practical skill that you need and you can learn, right? It's something that I work with pretty much all of my clients. I go through exercises to help them understand how much they're making, where the money goes, where the money doesn't go, what's coming in, what's going out, and charging for services, you know, pricing services accordingly. So I always go through that with my clients. So you can learn that, right? That's absolutely a skill that you can learn. There's lots of kind of mindset based skills. I don't know if that's the right word there, but mindset-based things, attributes that you need to be a brilliant business owner, okay? You don't need these to be a business owner, but we want you to be brilliant, don't we? We want you to be like the best in your field. And that doesn't mean the highest, the biggest income. It means kind of the best for you that you want to be, and earning the amount of money that makes you really happy, right? And the only person you're measuring any of this against is yourself. Always. It's just yourself. So forget about what everyone else is doing. So you need to be determined, right? From day one, I was absolutely determined that this was going to work. And my motivation was weird, I guess, when I first started the business. Just thinking back, you know, I mean, I left my job in the public sector. I worked in for an FE college, further education college. I had a really good job, good salary, loads of perks, all that you get in the public sector, holiday and pensions and all that shizzle. But I became really unhappy, like, and kind of burnt out and ill, actually. I was tiny. I weighed like 8 stone, which is, you know, you kind of look back and think, oh yeah, red flags there. So anyway, I left one day. I just left, and I decided that I wanted to work for myself. I'd had a couple of attempts at kind of working for myself before, but I didn't have like the role model in my family. I just didn't have that. I didn't know anybody who's in my family, in my kind of family circle, who was self-employed. My parents were both teachers. It was like, you get a job and you have that job for life, and oh, you need to get really super qualified as well for anything, every eventuality along the way. So that was like what my norm was, and what mold I was expected to fit into, I suppose. And I realized, you know, I'd realized a long time before that was not me. And I'd had lots of different jobs trying to find my place. And I realized now it was because of the kind of undiagnosed neurodiversity. So it was really hard to stay focused on something if it doesn't satisfy you. So anyway, I started my business, and the role models that I had were other people who had their own businesses. You know, I'd done a lot of networking, and so I knew a lot of people who had done it, and I was just like, well, I can do it too, right? So I had that kind of determination from day one. And I think a lot of the resilience as well that is required to be a brilliant business owner. So, you know, I'd had a lot of knocks in my professional career, jobs that didn't work out, people that were not nice, bit of sexual harassment in the workplace, and kind of just lots of stuff that hadn't really worked out. I was supposed to. So, and I'd never given up. You know, I'd never been out of work. I'd moved on to the next thing. So I had this level of resilience that just existed, and I didn't know it existed, but it does, because being in business is not the easy route, right? You have an off day, and as we all do, but you have an off day and it can have an impact on your entire month. Whereas you have an off day or just feel a bit meh when you're employed, fine, whatever, you just feel a bit meh. You know, you can't do that every day, obviously, or you would lose your job, but you can have off days, and it's different, right? It's different. So you need this real level of determination and resilience in order to be able to succeed in business. And I think sometimes we don't realize that, you know, we just don't realize how, I don't want to say how hard it is, because the trade-off for the hard is the freedom, is the flexibility, is the choice, is the all those incredible things. But yeah, it isn't the easy option. And I think maybe I was quite naive when I started. I just didn't see any reason why it wouldn't work. And I mean, it did work. It did work from day one. My first month, I've talked about this before, but my first month I invoiced £127. Whoop. But then I was up to six figures within probably 18 months, something like that. So, you know, it was fine. It was fine from day one. But a lot of that was because of the determination and resilience and focus that I had back then, because now I'm old and tired. But it was different, and it was new, and it was exciting. And there was this whole world of people who thought like me. And I look back now and I can see that a lot of the people that I met in the circles that I moved in, everybody was neurodivergent, right? People had ADHD, probably a lot of autism in there too. But it wasn't like a thing that was, I say normal in inverted commas, was talked about as much, and was as kind of, there wasn't the same awareness, that's what I'm trying to say, as there is now. So I just knew that these people were quick thinkers. They had saw opportunities, they went for them, they worked until it was finished, and it was a really exciting world to be in. So I was determined and focused and knew that it was going to be a success simply because of the people that I was surrounded by, right? So community is a very important thing that will move you forward. And that can be a community of peers that you make, you know, through networking or through events, or it can be a community you pay to be part of. You know, I met a lot of these people because I paid to join an entrepreneur's community. Best thing I've ever done, right? That a couple of years or whatever I was in it, I made lifelong friends and I learned stuff that I wouldn't have known otherwise. I remember, it's so funny now, poor naive young me, but I remember someone asking in one of our kind of mastermind meetings, I suppose, that we were in, and it was, what CRM do you use? And I was like, I use a spreadsheet to list my clients and their details and stuff. And it's like, no, that's not a CRM. And I was like, oh, there's something else you can use? And my mind was just blown by by all these, that there's software out there that will hold all client details. And then you can use it to email them too. And I mean, it was so funny, but that was in the first, I don't know how long, first year of business, I guess. But I'd got to six figures without knowing any of this stuff, right? But time's moved on now. That was, you know, 2011, 12. So it was, you know, technology is kind of different now and the online world is different. But yeah, so it was just always going to work. Never thought anything different. And so my focus was, which is something that you need to be a brilliant business owner, my focus was just, yeah, it's going to work. I didn't really have like an end goal as such. It was just make money for myself and don't ever go back to the public sector. that was really my focus and my determination in the early days. And other things that I learnt along the way and things that you need to think about is that actually you have a lot of responsibility. I don't mean you've got to do stuff and wear lots of hats. Yes, that exists within business, and it might be a surprise to you how many hats you actually need to wear. But it's the responsibility that this stuff is on your shoulders. Yeah. So when you have a job, you're responsible for your own thing. Yeah. And if you do well, great. If you don't, you know, you have to look for another job. Okay. But in business, you're responsible for everything that sits on your shoulders. And that's the thing that I've always struggled with the most, I think. I built the business up in the first few years. There were five of us, right? It was a team of five. I had staff and I employed them directly, and we had an office. So the responsibility I had there was making sure I could pay people and pay the rent on the office. And that was a lot of responsibility. And it was responsibility that actually I didn't like. I didn't want that. I'd had so much fun in the business to start with. And there were huge amounts of that. A guy who worked for me, we worked extremely well together. And I still, you know, on a weekly basis, I still wish that he was around, because he was just a brilliant sounding, you know, he's fine. He still exists. I went to his wedding last year and he still exists. He's not died. But, you know, in my business, he was very good for me to have around as just a, right, I've had this idea. What do you think about this? And talk it through, and for him to say, no, that's ridiculous, or yeah, let's do it. And then to start doing it. You know, that's a role that kind of I've not been able to replace since. And I really miss that. But ultimately the responsibility was all mine. I had to earn, or between us, but led by me, had to earn the money to pay the rent and pay all the staff. And it you know, that's tough. And now, for a long time now, since 2015, I've been back working on my own. And the responsibility is still, you know, I still have to lead on it. I still have to record the podcast, get it off to the editors, brief my VA on what needs to be done, do my weekly emails, service my clients, get some more clients, all the same, you know, everything kind of, even though some bits are outsourced to other people, the ultimate responsibility is all on me. And that's, you know, that's something for you to know and accept, right? Doesn't mean you need to do all the work, but the responsibility sits with you. And I guess kind of part of that, then you've got to be sort of action orientated, whichever, to do the work, right? And even if that work is sourcing people you can outsource to, finding a team that you can work with, you've got to be willing to do the work, right? Buying a franchise or setting up a business doesn't automatically mean you're going to be hugely successful, because that's not the business owner, brilliant business owner mindset, right? You've taken the first step, and that is absolutely commendable, right? So yay, you're on the path to doing it. However, you've got to do the work. You've got to do at least one thing every day that will move your business forward. You know, if you can do 10 things every day that will move your business forward, that's better. That's even better, right? You're going to get success much more quickly. But you can't just sit around and wait for stuff to come to you. And I work less than I used to now, for sure. Absolutely work less than I used to, and charge a lot more than I used to. That kind of goes with skills, with experience, and with longevity in the game. But when I first started, I did my stint of 14-hour days. You know, it was tough, but I always put in the work. And I know that I help you now. I'm kind of very anti-hustle, and you know, I help you find ways, easier ways to work less and earn more. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to do the work. You have to do the work. And I wish that was different. Because I wish I could just lie on a sun lounger all day and eat dates and drink smoothies and just have a fabulous time. But that's not going to grow a business, yeah? It's about the thing about doing this work and being action-oriented. The smart thing and the way to work less and earn more is to make all your actions really conscious actions, right? So why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you sitting there creating graphics in Canva, it's not going to make any difference, right? It's not going to make any difference. Get someone else to do it or do something more constructive. The things that are going to make a difference in your business is having a good offer, knowing who your target audience is, talking about it and doing sales, right? And then obviously being really good at your delivery, but we're assuming that that's a given. So yeah, it's kind of like marketing and sales is your job. Without that being done, without people knowing who you are and knowing whether they trust you and want to work with you, it's really, really hard to have a business, a service-based business, definitely. You've got to think about that. And you've got to have, and this one's my hardest one, but you've got to have a real sense of self-belief. You've got to really believe that you can do it. You've got to really know in your soul that you can do it. And absolutely, day one, there wasn't a shadow of a doubt there for me. Day one. And so my business grew very quickly because I didn't give up. I didn't, yeah, knock back fine. I mean, sometimes they were rubbish, but on to the next thing. And I had this real self-belief that this was just going to work. And I guess it's become harder for me. Maybe it's an age thing. Maybe it's a perimenopausal thing. Maybe it's my awareness of my autism and ADHD. And perhaps somewhere inside, I see that as a disadvantage or a disability. Don't know. But yeah, the self-belief, I think I don't have it as concrete as I did to start with. And that's a weird thing to say after, you know, over 12 years in business, but it's the thing that I work on the most because I know it's the kind of weak link in my business. And I'm sharing this with you because we're not all robots, right? I'm not a robot. I class myself as an extremely good business owner and a really great coach to the clients that I work with. And this podcast is useful and interesting. And I've written a book that is really helpful and all that stuff. However, sometimes I doubt myself. Sometimes it's difficult. And so I choose to get support for the thing that I find the most difficult and the most challenging. So I work with people who can help me overcome or at least stabilize the lack of self-belief that I have sometimes, because it's not, for me, it doesn't work to just look at the data. And I'm so data-driven that it drives me nuts that this doesn't work for me. But, you know, reading old testimonials doesn't, if I'm not feeling the self-belief, reading old testimonials ain't going to make any difference because I'll be able to justify why they wrote it then, but they wouldn't say it now, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. So, you know, I work with people. I'm in a program that a lot of it is to do with mindset, which is the thing, the big thing for me. And I also work with an EFT coach, the gorgeous Jackie Acree, who, great friend of mine, and helps me kind of regulate my crazy shit, I would say. That's what she does. So if you're listening, Jackie, I love you. You're so good. You're so helpful to me. So, you know, it's about asking for the right support and getting the right help. And I have always paid for support, always, from day one. I mentioned the entrepreneurs community that I was in right from, yeah, I mean, maybe not day one, but certainly day 30 or so, I was paying for support in my business, and I've paid continually since. And that involves going to conferences and events. It involves being part of communities. It involves learning, you know, pure and simple, accessing training on something that I wanted to know how to do. And it's involved me having a lot of coaching from people. And I think I've probably spent about 120 grand since I started the business. Something like that, 120 grand, on my own personal and professional development. And that's a lot of money, paying off mortgage levels of money. However, I wouldn't be where I am today and able to work in the way that I do if I hadn't have done that. So absolutely, for me, it's been worth it. So making wise investments and, you know, working with a coach like me, right? If you need support in your business, then I am someone that you can come to and ask for that support, and we can work out how we want to work together, right? So there are lots of people like that who exist. But the biggest thing that makes a brilliant business owner, I think, is the ability to make conscious business decisions. Conscious business decisions, not just decisions, because we all make hundreds, thousands of decisions all the time, but a conscious business decision. Is this going to grow my business? Is this worth me investing my time and energy in? Is this worth me investing my money in? You know, sometimes you don't know the answer to that until you've tried, but do I know why I'm doing this? Do I know where I'm going? Do I know why I'm going there? Do I know where I want to go? Are any of these things that I'm doing getting me there? Yeah. And so that's when opportunities present themselves. You can say yes or no. You can make it a conscious decision. Is this client going to serve me in the way that, you know, you can help them, right? But is that client going to be kind of good for you? Yes or no? Is listening to this podcast helping you move forward? Yes or no? I mean, that's a big hard yes, right? Of course it is. So, but it's worthwhile investment of your time, right? And if it stops serving you, you stop listening. It's as simple as that. But these conscious decisions and this real discernment in your business of, is this helpful? Yes or no? Is this going to make me a better business owner? Yes or no? Is this taking me forward on my journey? Yes or no? That's really, really empowering. And that's the difference between just owning a business, buying a franchise, being a practitioner, and actually being a brilliant business owner. So what I want you to do from listening to this today is I want you to think really carefully kind of about what you're doing and why, and looking at your determination and your focus and your drive. And if something's kind of out of kilter, look at why. Yeah. Look at why you don't feel a huge passion for what you're doing, or some days you can't be bothered. Might be that you're selling the wrong services, right? Might be that you've got the wrong target audience. Might be that you're in the whole wrong line of business for you. But all this stuff you can change. And if there are certain things that you do that really light you up, like this podcast, I love doing this podcast, right? Keep doing it, but look at what net effect it has on your business. So I know that this podcast helps people because people tell me it's helped them, right? Or they leave reviews. I know that it brings me opportunities because it's quite rare for someone to come on one of my mastermind days or to work with me without having listened to at least one episode of this podcast, right? Absolutely worth me doing, but I love doing it too. So it's a conscious business decision to do it. It wasn't when I first started it because I just thought, oh, yes, now time's right for me to have a podcast. But now I've got much more strategic with the content and, you know, I'm better at it, right? Because I've been doing it for 18 months and practice makes perfect-ish. I don't know if that would be perfect, but so that it becomes a conscious decision. Is it worth it? Yes, no. And that's where I want you to get to be. And if you do that and you follow all the advice and guidance that I've given you in today's episode, you are going to be far more on your way to being a brilliant business owner than you were half an hour ago. And I think that's a big win for you. So thank you for joining me again today. If you want to leave a review of this podcast, then that would be super. And if you want to contact me, then Instagram at Libby Langley, or I'm Libby Langley on LinkedIn as well. They're my two kind of primary social media places. So do please connect, say hi, and tell me where you are on the scale of brilliant business owner to hopefully you're somewhere near the brilliant now. So thanks ever so much for joining me today. I'm going to see you next week. Thank you for listening to Life in Business. Please make sure that you subscribe or follow so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's show, please leave a review as it helps others to find the podcast and spread the word that there's an easier way to do business. If you want to chat with me about today's episode or suggest a topic for the future, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram at Libby Langley. See you next week.